I think if you could talk with anybody in hell, they'd say it's hot. So if that's true, then it's just kind of warm in here. Is that right? I said it's just kind of warm in here. So since it's not hot, it's just warm, we ought to make it all right. Praise the Lord. You love the Lord? Thankful to be here tonight. Feel the presence of God. I appreciate Charlie opening the service for us. The fans will help a little bit. Makes a difference. A lot of times it's good for you to sweat. Get a little poison out of your system. Some folks don't ever work, so they would never sweat if it didn't get a little warm, you know. The Lord's just helping you out. Won't be long before camp meeting. And in that it won't be very long, well, I hope we'll remember what Brother Red said. He said he never had seen us prepared before for a camp meeting. And I hope everybody will be prepared. I think Brother Marlowe, he's already a couple of days in a fast. He's already prepared. David, he's fasting, so he's prepared. I think maybe the boys is planning to go on a 2 or 3 day fast. It would be well if everybody would try to get in at least 2 or 3 days fasting between now and camp meeting to where you can be a blessing to the service. If you have to fast it one day at a time, you can still get it in. You know, they got a song called One Day at a Time. If you can't get it in 3 days at a time, get it in one day at a time. I wonder if we could turn over to 131. Sing a song, I'm Too Near Home. How many of you are glad to be here tonight? Let me see your hand. Praise God. Well, that's wonderful. Let's everyone stand together. I've been traveling here in this life with its heartaches, trouble, and strife. Sometimes Satan tries to tell me to turn aside. I say, Satan, get thee behind. No returning in me you'll find. I'm too near my heavenly home where I'll abide. I'm too near home with my Lord. Too near home in heaven's reward. I am not returning to sin. I have made my vow. There is nothing to go back to. Praise the Lord, heaven's in view. I'm too near my heavenly home to turn back now. There is joy in going this way. It gets sweeter every day. My dear Lord's leading the way to realms above. He'll be with me until the end. Be my Savior, guide and my friend. I'll arrive in heaven, the home of perfect love. I'm too near home with my Lord. Too near home in heaven's reward. I am not returning to sin. I have made my vow. There is nothing to go back to. Praise the Lord, heaven's in view. I'm too near my heavenly home to turn back now. Just one glimpse inside the home gate. See the friends and loved ones who wait. Will be worth whatever the cost to make it through. I would not give up in the race. I'll continue by the Lord's grace. I am too near that wonderful home beyond the blues. I'm too near home with my Lord, too near home in heaven's reward. I am not returning to sin. I have made my vows. There is nothing to go back to. Praise the Lord, heaven's in view. I'm too near my heavenly home to turn back now. I'm too near home with my Lord, too near home in heaven's reward. I am not returning to sin. I have made my vows. There is nothing to go back to. Praise the Lord, heaven's in view. I'm too near my heavenly home to turn back now. Hallelujah. If you love the Lord, say amen. Praise God. You can be seated. Got a number of the boys that's been converted after the last meeting on a Sunday night. They gathered down at my place and seven of them prayed through, and we prayed with them until they broke down and wept before God and they gave their hearts to Christ. And then the following morning, some more came in and different ones began to confess that they'd not been sure of their salvation. And they begin to ask for spiritual help. And we baptized a number of people from that. I guess it must have been 20 or 30 perhaps that we baptized since the Huntington meeting. Since we started it, it must have been 20 or 30 people. And I feel like God is helping us and blessing us. I feel like the youth move is on that I felt would be on, you know. Felt like coming back from Virginia would, or the meeting in Virginia would do it, and of course it did. Come back and they begin to repent of their sins and get right before God. And Brother Taylor and I set up a little something years ago called the CYC. And I told him that we wouldn't make use of it until a certain time when the Lord started with the youth. And some of them kind of upbraided me because they wanted to jump the gun on it. But I knew that if we went ahead of the move of the Spirit, what we'd have is a bunch of hypocrites or a lot of hypocrisy. That's right. About a year or so ago, they wanted to start a youth meeting. And the Lord showed me I was willing to go ahead with it, and I didn't think it was time. And the Lord showed me it would be a hypocritical thing. I mean, I have no apologies to offer. He didn't say maybe it would. He said it would be a hypocritical thing. And said it would be a hypocrite leading them. That's right. So I said, well, one thing about it, God, if you're not ready to do it, then I'm not ready to have it done. And the one that was on my back about leading them forgot all about it, and it turned out exactly the way that I saw it. So I felt like when the right time come, we would use what we call the Christian Youth Crusades for Christ, and that we'd get behind it and really push it. Still getting a good bit of mail out of Africa, and we have gotten some out of England. And people are getting a hold of our literature around the different parts of the country. We got a couple of letters from Africa, and one brother made the statement, said, Brother Pike, I have about 500 followers, and said, I'm writing to let you know how much I appreciate you and your people or your efforts here in Africa in sending literature to these people or to our people. We've not sent him any, But he had heard of the literature that we'd sent others. He never asked for anything. He just said he wanted to express his gratitude for what he had seen. We received another letter, and it was from one of the schools, and this boy said that he had gotten a hold of one of the tracks on God's healing word. It seems that that track is really outstanding to those people over there, I guess because they've got a lot of sickness. But he said he had gotten a hold of it and said the words and teachings were so gracious. He told what it had done for him and said it has become a big help in our school, in helping us in our school studies as the brethren come together. He said, I received this track while somebody was passing them out among a big convention, maybe several thousand people, and he had gotten a hold of one of them in the convention. I remember somebody writing this saying that they had at an Easter festival or something, they had passed out as many tracts as they had, and apparently this person had gotten one of them from the festival or gathering, whatever it was. But anyway, they're very grateful. Brother Branham one time had a great meeting in Africa. He told me they hauled off maybe 10 or 11 truckloads of crutches and wheelchairs. And he expressed himself that there would be even a greater meeting than that in Africa. And I'm beginning to believe it as the respond come and people are so stirred about the track on the healing word. So I feel like the Lord is fixing to do something in that area. We're going to try to keep sending literature in there if we possibly can and do what we can. The letter that came from England wanted some literature in that area. And also there was some more addresses that was given to us in England by the brother that came over from Jamaica. We haven't sent any mail to those yet that I know of, but somehow the people in England had gotten hold of some of our literature through other means where we've been sending out literature and had written us, and it might be that we can establish a great thing there in England. I wonder if I could get the boys to come up tonight and say a word for the Lord. Thought I might get Brother Randy to come up here from North Carolina. I believe he's pretty happy down here. He acts like he is. And I believe Randy really got something from the Lord the other night. And most of you probably already know him. And maybe as familiar with him as I am or more. But Brother Randy prayed the other night and confessed his wrong to God, turned to the Lord and told me some things that was shocking that he was acquainted with. For you that don't know him, we'll let him come and say something to you tonight and get acquainted with him.
All praise the Lord for being here tonight. And if it wasn't for God, I'd probably be dead. And if it wasn't for my brother Kenny and David and all the rest of them, I probably wouldn't have went down there. I praise God for my mother, my father. They've tried to teach me to do right, and I've done a lot of things wrong. I've took drugs. I've sold drugs. I've seen a lot of heroin and everything passed around in schools. I've sold it. But I'm glad that God saved me from all that stuff. I don't want to never go back to it again. Amen. Well, some of the guys I run around with in High Point was dope pushers. Now I've seen a whole lot of drugs. I've seen up to $2,300 of cocaine. I've seen a lot of over $25 million of heroin. In a little luncheon bag of heroin will run you $25 to $35 million, and now I've helped cut it and sold it almost. Praise God that I didn't sell none of it, because that stuff will kill you. And I don't want nobody that's ever touched drugs, don't never try them, because they will kill you. I've seen a lot of my friends in High Point Jimmy Coltrane, he's been in and out of drug schools like going to school. He was a drug addict, most all his family was. That's where I got most of mine. I hope God saves him and his whole family because he needs it. And my brother's done drugs. My parents knew about that, but they didn't know about me. But I wish they did have that. And the night... Well, in High Point, the furniture place where they, the furniture capital of the world, people would, all the furniture buyers would come in, and they'd buy up to $25 million of heroin and stuff and put it into furniture and send it back up south and send it to Florida and everywhere. They transport their own drugs in the furniture they bought. And they might be shipping some up here. There's no doubt, because they send it all over the world. I had a friend of mine, he drove a truck, and he'd take a whole sofa and take off the whole bottom, just fill it up with as much marijuana as he could. But he got killed. It was probably God. I'm glad I got up before I got killed. And that night, that Sunday night, I laid out of the first part of church. Me and Ricky went over to a friend's house and watched TV, and we kind of got to us. We was hoping Brother George would give an altar call, but he didn't. And so we went down to his house Sunday night, and we all got saved, seven of us. And I thank God for it.
Randy was just a little more thorough with it when he told me. He said that the police in High Point, is it High Point? The High Point police is also mixed up in it. Said they're also working dope, and I believe he said some of the service stations and the cafes. Is that right? I found out also from some of the boys around here that our police up here are also mixed up in dope, in a dope ring, and that our police is getting the dope, and they're passing on to their boys and children, and their children is putting it out. No doubt that's why the police has been so hard on us out here. But one day God's going to turn that little card of theirs upside down and openly expose them and show them up for what they did to this out here. And you just pray, because God will get them for it. After a while, he'll nail it down, Charlie. And I noticed some of them up there that stopped our boys for speeding and put some of our boys in jail that finally God took them slap off the force. They caught them speeding and really acting up in the car. And it was so bad they had to take them off the force, and some of them wound up in jail. So you just keep praying, and God will turn the tables on them. I know when they got so hard on us out here, some of you remember it, I went and prayed to God and asked God to send something through here and shake them up, and he did. With those tornadoes, and on Friday, when those tornadoes got through hitting on Monday morning, we got some letters saying that he wanted to make, from the sheriff, that said they wanted to make our people honorary citizens of Monroe County. So, God knows how to take care of it if we keep praying. I want Kenny to come up here. He's been, Kenny was really the one that led him to the Lord. He got under conviction. And I'm really glad of it. How many appreciate God leading these boys? Praise the Lord. Brother Kenny, come on.
Well, I thank the Lord tonight for saving my soul, and I don't really know what to say, except all I love the Lord. And that day, Sunday, I got saved. I went around all day talking to Dale. I said, come on, Dale, let's go get saved. No, man, you high. You don't know what you're talking about. And he's all day long, he said that. So that night, I come to church, and about 15 minutes before church was over, the Lord started bothering me, and so I went outside, and I started crying. I asked the Lord to have mercy on me, and church let out, and Dale come out there, and I was talking to Dave and all of them about getting saved, and Dale says, man, you crazy, you still high, you don't want to get saved, and I just started talking to Dave, and me and him started walking down towards the house, Brother Toby and all of us, and here they all come, running right down there behind us. It felt so good that night, and I really thank the Lord for saving my soul, and I want y'all to pray for me and my family, and we'll make it.
Praise God. Kenny really got under conviction. I mean, sure enough. And I'm glad because I spoke of a young fella here on a Sunday morning, was it? He was the young fella. I caught his spirit, and I didn't know that he took dope, but I caught his spirit sailing around up here somewhere. And he might have been doped up then, I don't know. But I think he'd been doing dope for how long, Kenny? About 2 years. And, of course, some of the boys had went off the other night and got dope. You probably didn't know it, but they'd went off and got dope, and they picked it up over here in Conyers. Probably my son-in-law, Ralph, I don't know where he's at tonight, but he used to be a pusher of dope back up in that area and around Atlanta, and he'd probably know the one they got it from. I think he got it over at some skating rink. But anyway, I thank the Lord for these boys and that God's dealing with them. And, of course, that makes you know the move is on, as we sang the other night, Charlie. When God convicts the hearts of young fellas, something's happening. You know, and I spoke that morning of that particular young fella, and I didn't know anything about him. I never even met him. But God showed me that he had to do something and do something fast. And it really went home because he couldn't have known who I was speaking of had not God convicted his heart. And I believe Satan was fixing to kill Kenny. And I believe he was fixing to kill Ricky Gonzalez also. Now, God did something, and when we prayed with these boys, I never felt that thing that was hovering over them lift. Even after they gave their heart to God, I still didn't feel it lift. They prayed and wept before God, and I still didn't feel it lift. And we kept talking about God and talking about God. And way after a while, I felt something snap just like a string on a kite, and I felt it lift and go away. And boy, I tell you, I was a happy feller, and I know they was too. Hallelujah. God's real, ain't he? Praise God. I'm really concerned about our youth. I really want to see something happen. In this camp meeting, I believe something's really going to take place. I believe it's going to be a lot of help to us and a lot of inspiration. The other morning, I spoke of somebody that was here that wasn't pleased in the way that God was using them. And I said, if you don't do right, God won't use you at all. And sure enough, the following day, God revealed the man's sins, and he won't be used at all anymore until God sets him on the shelf and straightens him out. If anybody does use people that's in that kind of condition until God has time to purge them, then something's wrong with the people that uses them. So two can't walk together unless they be agreed. So it would do well if all of us would remember these things, that judgment comes so quick, so very quick, so very quick. I made a statement to a man. I said, you shouldn't do the thing that you're doing. I said, it's contrary to God. I said, it's contrary to the word of the Lord. And he said, I want to obey you. I want to do what you tell me. He said, but if I have to do that, I'll die and go to hell before I'll do it. I said, all right, Lord, there he is. He's yours. And Satan hit him, subdued him and hit him and tore him up and ruined him. So then it would behoove us that if we get a warning from God, to take that warning and do right. I'm going to call the other boys up. Dale, if you will, come up, Dale. Dale really cried and prayed before God, and he said this time he feels like he's really got something from God and he's really wanting to try to do something for the Lord.
Hallelujah. How many of you people love the Lord tonight? How many of y'all know that God's real? You know, the other night, when I went down to Brother George's, I guess, you know, the way Kenny was talking, I was pretty high myself, you know, because me and Kenny, that night, we got some marijuana. And we smoked 3 joints that afternoon. And if you know what copping a high buzz is, all you do, you just get a little buzz in your head, you know. It goes to working on your brain. But I tell you, when you get Jesus, it goes to working all over your body. You know what? It's all the way from your feet all the way up to your head. And I tell you, it's not just like having a head buzz. I tell you, if you people want to get something, I found out God was real. I found out there's something to this thing. God's going to kill some people. And God's going to get you. I tell you, it's real. Brother George, I want you to come on. I want you people to pray for me. I love the Lord tonight. And I want to serve him, and I want to do what's right. Y'all just pray for me.
You know, I want you to, the Bible said, rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. When these boys come up here to rejoice, I want you to rejoice with them. When I have a preacher in the pulpit up here and he's trying to preach the gospel, you say amen. If he's not telling the truth, well, you don't say nothing. You just say, Lord, help him. You know, but if he's preaching the gospel, you say amen and encourage him here. All right, now it goes for me too. All right, Brother Ricky, we're going to ask Brother Ricky Gonzalez to come up here if he will. Now, I've known Rick ever since he's been just a little bitty fella. And the devil has really bidded high for Ricky's soul. He's tried everything to overthrow him and steal him out of the hands of Brother Gonzalez. And I believe that he was on the verge of taking Ricky's life. There had already been a vision where Ricky got killed. And I believe he was on the verge of taking his life. And I feel like God done something for Ricky. He really got serious. He told me they went off to drink some beer the other night and said every time that he went to drink the beer, said the vision that God gave him concerning us, I don't know where it was, in Centerville or where, Centerville, he said it would always come back to him and said he just couldn't do it. But anyway, we want him to testify.
Well, really, I ain't got much to say. I just say I love the Lord tonight. Now I was working today and I was just wishing, I wish I could, you know, make a miracle or something, you know. And some say you could, you know. So I said, you know, I was just praising the Lord all day, you know. I'm glad I got saved. I hope this time will last a long time. We'll do something big.
Praise God. This does last a long time, Ricky. This is worlds without end. I want Junior to come up here and testify. Junior didn't get baptized. I still ain't decided what to do to Al yet. But he's supposed to have him over there for that baptizing. And Junior, he really wants to serve the Lord too. Junior's been knowing him ever since he's a little bitty feller. Some of you remember how we've spoke of them when they have to slip down the hill and sleep in the buggy. And fight the mosquitoes all night so that somebody could have their place on the floor at their house. I mean on the ground. They didn't have no floor.
Well, I like to say I love the Lord tonight. I ain't got much to say. Really, I'm real nervous. Just want y'all to pray for me.
Hallelujah. Brother Toby's little boy really prayed through and got an experience with God while he was down there. He really wept before God, and he really asked God to save him and said, God, I really done something for him. I'd like for him to come up and testify, if you will. He's one of the boys that's in the school here, and I really appreciate God getting hold of our school boys. I feel like Brother Eddie and the teachers, Brother Frank and different ones, along with the ladies, are responsible for the conduct of some of our youth. And some of it is a lot better than what it would have been if it had not been for those teachers.
Well, I'd like to say that I thank the Lord for saving my soul. And if he hadn't saved me, I'd probably be in the grave tonight. And I don't know what I'd do if it wasn't for Brother George. And
praise the Lord.
I'm just hoping that our family can make it.
Praise God. You know, I appreciate the confidence in the pastor. I hope daddies will always teach confidence in the minister. That way the minister can reach out and help them. But truthfully, I don't know what we'd do without Brother Jesus. I really don't. So, Paul said we're a helper of your faith, and we can help your faith if you're taught faith in the God that's in our heart. You love the Lord. I've heard, and I'm sure that Charlie's heard of this. He's an old timer in the things of God, and he's an elder. And I'm sure he's heard this, that there's been numbers of people, that is, boys and girls, that have been lost because their parents killed the confidence that they had in their pastor. And I've heard of cases where daddy and mother would call the boy or the girl, attention, call their attention to Christ, to the church, and to the pastor. And then they would answer the parents back, daddy, how do you expect me to have any confidence in him? And I've heard you say the things you've said about him. And therefore, there was no one to help him. I don't mean Charlie's an old man. Charlie's just been acquainted with religion ever since he was a boy. He grew up in it. And he's an old timer at the meetings and different things around the nation, though he's still not an old man. We appreciate every one of you. And we'll see Brother CB. He's probably here somewhere. Yeah, here he is. CB, would you say something to the Lord? Well, give him a few minutes here to say something to you. He prayed through the other day, and I mean, he really wept before God. He said, Brother Pike, I never have been sure of my salvation. And said, I was baptized, and he said, I want to know that I'm right with God.
I praise the Lord for being able to give a testimony for Christ. Like I was saying, I was baptized 5 years ago, and I really didn't have an experience with God. I just warred with me constantly, day after day after day. And I finally, you know, I wanted to talk to Brother George for a long time concerning this. And I got to talk to him Monday, and I told him, I said, Brother George, I wasn't sure of my salvation. So I asked him, I wanted to pray for him. And so he prayed for me, and I felt God. I know God moved for me. And I believe by faith in Christ that I am saved by the grace of God. And brothers and sisters in Christ, I tell you, we ought to really stand for God now because it's so close. I told my wife tonight, I said, Debbie, I said, if we was out in the world, I said, there's nothing out there. I said, you can see it now, just decay and it's rotten. And people, I tell you what, we better pray and fast and seek God because it's time. It's time to get on board or get off because it's real soon. And I believe God is going to use the people here. And I appreciate God for saving my soul. And I appreciate the young brothers in Christ. And I want to encourage them and help everyone I can. And I want y'all to pray for me and pray for my family. And I ask you to pray for the brothers and sisters all together here. Thank you.
You know, the Bible tells us to make our calling and election sure. And that's what CB did. I mean, he really confessed and he really prayed and he really checked up. I mean, he cried and wept before God. He didn't just get down. These boys didn't get down, nor did he, and just say, hallelujah, glory to God, amen. I mean, they prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and then prayed. They wept before God until God come down, Brother Jerry, and gloriously saved them. That's the way to get it. That's the true way to really do it. I know it's all by faith in him. But a lot of times it takes some praying and weeping before we can ever get faith in here. We can get it up here in our head, but to get it in here, we've got to make some confessions and rearrange some things before faith will ever come up in our heart. And then when it does come up, you'll make contact with that divine Spirit of God, and everything will be all right. But if you're believing in your head that you're on your way to heaven, you're lost. You might have made a confession. You might have said, I believe. You might have been baptized. But that's not good enough. It's got to come from here. With the heart, man believeth unto salvation. Confession is made with the mouth. All right, Brother Tommy wanted to say something. Brother Tommy was also rebaptized. If you would, we'd like for him to come on and say something now.
I praise the Lord for saving my soul. I tell you the truth. The other Monday when Carter was down there, I was talking to Brother George, but I didn't get to make my confession. But I'd already made it in my heart, but I got rushed off. But Brother George, I tell you the truth, I was rotten. That's the truth, I was rotten. I didn't have no good in me at all. And brother, if you know what I feel, you know that I was telling the truth because I didn't have no touch with God nowhere. I didn't feel nothing, no time. I was a walking hypocrite, and I knowed it. But I tell you one thing, Stevie told me about the boys Sunday night, man, that ran all over me. I could have just cried and hollered and shouted and anything I could have done, I'd done it. I tell you the truth. I heard about when they said my brother got saved. Lord, have mercy. That helped me so much. I just wanted me to do something so bad, I had to do something. I just had to give my heart to God. I know that I hadn't done it, but my, boy, I tell you the truth, Ricky and me were just as close as can be. And I knew I seen Ricky and him fall away. I watched them. I know that I was rotten, but I played the hypocrite on the boys. I tell you that I was deceitful. They didn't know what was going on in my life, but I knew what was going on with them because they didn't make it no show. But I guarantee you one thing, the Lord really got a hold of my heart. He really did. And I tell you the truth, if you don't think that you're just going to do something, you watch it. You watch it. If it don't come to pass, God's a liar, and I know He's not. I know He's not. So you watch it. I tell you the truth, the reason that young people got the way they were called the elders put them down in the ground. I guarantee you one thing, everybody here that has really upheld the youth like they should, God would have blessed them more than they had. I've had so many people tell me, they come to me and they rebuke me and they wouldn't think nothing about that the person was a baby. And I guarantee you one thing, they've killed more people. That's the reason that Ricky and the boys got the way they were. And me, myself, I was a hypocrite because I played on the other people's sympathy. I guarantee you one thing, that the elders in the church, the brethren that said that they were the leaders in the church, put their young people down in the hole and they would not pick them up. I guarantee you that was a fact because I watched it. But that's not to justify me. That's not, because I'm old enough now that I know better and I know to do good. But I guarantee you one thing, encouragement helps a lot. It helps a lot. If I had the encouragement that the brethren ought to have, we would have never been in the shape that God has, we'd fell away in. These boys said that I didn't know about them boys, about them pushing drugs and all that stuff. But I guarantee if I was with them, I'd done the same thing because I had the same thing in me. I played the hypocrite on the fellas, and anybody out here didn't know nothing about my life. But I'm a hypocrite. I was. Take that back. Lord, save my soul, and I'm glad. I'm glad. Because I tell you one thing, it's a feeling. I was on the verge of a breakup between my marriage. It struck me so hard. I wasn't even ready, I don't believe. But God has changed my heart. And He's made me want to stick in there and take responsibility like a man should. I know people might look at me like a boy, but I guarantee you one thing, God looks at me like a man, no matter what. These fellas up here is all men, though you look at them as boys. God said they was a man at 12, so surely they're a man at 15. So y'all going to have to pick us up a little bit. Just lift us up. Every time you see us, don't say nothing wrong. If you see us do wrong, pray for us. That God maybe speak a kind word to somebody. Maybe they'd raise up and say, hallelujah, we'll go on anyhow. Everybody makes mistakes, and you can't say you don't. Everybody does. So if I'm without mistake, how in the world I can be like Brother George? I can tell you what to do, but I'm not. So what we got to do, we got to pray for each other. Each other. And if I see my brother in a fault, I'm supposed to go to him. And not go to 1,000 people. By the time it gets back to him, they think everybody in the world hates him. That's what's wrong with the young fellas. I had so many people come to me and tell me things about them that was lies. They were actual lies. And I tell you the truth, it got my brother so bad that he went back to North Carolina. And if ever who said what they did knowed it, then they should repent tonight on this altar. Because they really struck him. And anybody else, Ricky and all of them, they told lies on them that didn't encourage them at all. And if you knew what was said, you'd be scared, because he said, don't lay no charge to God's elect. And you don't know if they are or not. I believe they are, because they showed it. They got saved and they give their heart to God. And this is the last days. The last days. And you can say for one thing, if they all come in the last day, God is going to do a quick work. Cut short in righteousness. And I guarantee you one thing, some of you people out there think you know something, you ain't going to know nothing of what we're going to know. I guarantee you, some of you going to get so jealous that you'll run to see what we know. I guarantee you, David Pike sitting right here knows more or as much as anybody out there as far as the revelation goes, but he has just now given his heart to God, and you watch him move. You watch him move. And anybody else, any other young child, or man or woman or anybody, you see these girls and boys goes out here and give out all these tracts. Some of you have never done it. Some of you have never give out a tract. You hold them in your car till they get rusted and rotten and wrinkled. I seen them. I picked them up in gullies where people just throwed them out. I guarantee it was some of our brethren. It might not have been, but it had to be. But we're going to have to take an interest. I tell you one thing. I really want to do something for God. I don't know about y'all. I really don't know about you. But I guarantee you one thing. You see, just a few young brethren here. Just us 7, 8. I guarantee we take the world. We can take the world with it. If one can take 10,000, how many can 7 take? We take Monroe and scatter it to pieces. We'd have every one of us. You think this church, and people ask me, why do we gather here? Bible says, come ye out and make a separate people. So that's what we're doing. This is to show that God is real and that we're not playing. That's the reason that these young people go out and it'll stir somebody's heart. And they become give their heart to God because they ain't never seen it done in their life. Never seen it. A man that really lived for God, a child, or a young man, or a young woman that really lived for God, you'll shine like a light bulb. And everybody sees you. Say, you're a Christian, aren't you? Yes, sir, I am. So you shouldn't be ashamed. We was talking a while ago. The boys kind of shied off from testifying. But I tell you one thing. You get God, you'll do anything for God. You'll do anything. He said, come before his throne boldly. So I believe one thing tonight. We should be bold before Christ. We should not shy away from his name. That's the reason that some of us not getting blessed. I know good and well that I haven't been getting blessed like I ought to be. Because of my own self. And if you check every one of his life, it's the same way. Same way. It's because of your own self. It's because you look at somebody else, don't make you go down in a hole. I don't care what you say. So I tell you one thing tonight, brethren. Not to make me look big or the brethren look small. But we all need to do something for God. We all need to do something. So I tell you what. Ever who can, we're starting to go on a fast tomorrow. And everybody that can ought to purpose in their heart to strengthen us and go on with us and watch this move go. See, the elders died in the wilderness, but the youth went across. So how are we going to do it? We got to rise up and take the kingdom. How are we going to do it? The only way we can do it is to do something. To do something. To do something. Some of you ain't very emotional. I've seen you worse. But I tell you one thing. God gets a hold of your heart. You'll be shouting the victory every second you can. Brother George stood up here and said, say amen to the minister. Everything he says that you know is God, say amen to it. And ain't none of you do it. Me, myself. That's the truth, brethren. You don't obey your pastor. He says, stand up. You know, none of you do it. Half time. Got a third of you stand up. This the only ones. And they do it because they're about scared half to death and somebody might say something to them. Some of them do. Some of them do it because they want to. But, man, I tell you what. Like Toby said the other night in the men's meeting, it grieves him. See, if a man don't obey the pastor, then he hadn't got no head. He's walking around without no head. Don't it look funny? A body walking without no head. That's exactly the way it is, brethren, in spirit. That's the truth. You see a man out here that don't obey his pastor and that knows that his pastor's told him something and don't do it and then purposely don't do it, he is in trouble. If Brother George tells me something, I'll obey him. And that's the way I feel about it. I'll do it. Like Toby said and much of the brethren said, he's my Lord. And I will not be ashamed to say it. I'm not ashamed to say it. The Lord gave me that vision that he was the Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. I know it's a fact because I've watched it. I have found no fault in the man. No fault. I've looked. I might have been a hypocrite, but I've looked. I've looked and I haven't found nothing that I can lay a finger on. And I ain't seen no man here that I could do it. No man. I mean, like I say, all of us got faults. But God had to pick a man. God had to pick a man that would be perfect in our eyes that we could follow him. Hallelujah. That we could be his. That he could be our example. Hallelujah. I guarantee you one thing. We rise up and take the kingdom. Ain't nobody going to take it from us. This is it. Hallelujah. Lord, praise God. Here.
Praise God. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. You know, it's wonderful when the people that follow you don't find no fault in you. I could tell there's a little skepticism when Tommy said that. But you know, folks say, well, there never was nobody like that but Jesus. I agree with you. Don't you? I agree with you. People that don't know God don't understand. And I don't try to explain to them, because the Bible said the wicked would not understand, but the righteous would understand, didn't it? Now, Brother Pike, you really messed up things then, didn't you? I mean, you really did. You really got some of them off course then. No, the wicked will not understand. The wicked won't see when good cometh. Praise God. What if I just was willing to leave it there and let you be confused? Not try to straighten it out. But just so you won't be confused, to justify what Tommy said, the Bible said there's nobody that can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. So then there's no need of looking for fault. There is no fault. I didn't jump the gun and I didn't run aground like you thought I did. So you wasn't as smart as you thought you was you? Tommy wasn't as dumb as you thought he was he? We're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. You love the Lord? Praise God. So then, as a man, I'm nothing but false. If you don't believe it, ask my wife. She knows better than anybody else. She confesses my faults with a regularity. But nevertheless, in Christ, we are without fault, without blame before the throne. So these are without blame, Jerry, before the throne. Revelation says they're without blame before God. And that's the one that we want to be without blame before. All right, I thank the Lord tonight. I want to talk with you a few minutes. I took up a good bit of time here in the testifying, and I'm not going to try to get into a sermon. It's just two or three things that I'd like to make mention of that will be to you of interest. If you'll give me 15 or 20 minutes here of your time. I know it's hot in here, but it'd be hot down at your house too, unless you've got an air conditioner. And if I keep you up here long enough, maybe you'll either move your air conditioner up here or you'll help me get one. So, there's one or two things I want to point out. There's a lot of things I'd like to say to you, an awful lot of things. The other night, there's been two or three nights here I had things that I wanted to say to you, but there wasn't any way really that I could do it because I had several ministers coming in, and a lot of times I have ministers coming in and I know that some of them's backslid and I don't want to ask them up to preach, and I don't know what to do, and so sometimes I just turn things into a testimony meeting. I knew that Tommy wasn't right with God, and I'd known of some of the things he was doing. But I still tried to encourage him. Jesus said, feed my lambs. I still tried to encourage him till I could get a hold of his hands. You know, a good fisherman, he'll fish a long time before he starts jerking on the line. And I was trying to get a hold of some of them and wait till their season. And we've got some people out here too who are still playing the hypocrite. They're right here. And I made statements here a number of times. I said, folks, y'all don't know what's among us. You don't know what's going on. And you're gradually seeing it unveil and unfold that you didn't know what was really going on. Devils and demons of lust, demons of hypocrisy, demons of covetousness, all kind of devils are still working. They're still working. There's some here that has had some of the low-downest, filthiest minds that could be imaginable. But they're still professing to be right with God. One of them even took the initiative in the teachings to take the faith that I taught here and say in his heart that God had given him that faith and he was going to use it to get another man's wife with. said God showed him he could do it by faith and told her he'd do it by faith. That's something, isn't it? You say, can people get that low down? Lower than that. Lower than that. All right. I'm going to read a little portion from the 1 Kings 17. I'd like for you to be patient with me for just a little bit here. And if there ever was a day when we need to be patient and stop and look and listen and learn, it's at this time that we're living in. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come unto him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came unto him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is true. I believe that we're living, scripturally speaking, just about in this position. I believe we're right at the time when God is fixing to bring in the great famine. And as Jesus said in the days of Eliseus, there was many widows, but unto one widow was he sent. It's evident here that those two little sticks must have had to do with the cross of Calvary. Here God showed a great thing in a revelated way. Now, rather than preach to you, I wanted to read this and relate something to you. I'm sure my wife did not do what I asked her to do, because if she did, that would really be something. But I know that she kept the paper I asked her to keep, but I don't feel she cut it out of the paper, did you? You didn't cut it out. All right, she did not cut it out. Now, I wanted it cut out because I did not want to bring the paper in here. But I wanted to bring an article in here and refer back to it in just having a little open discussion with you to try to bring some things to your mind. That's why that I took as long as I did, and I let the boys testify tonight. Some of you, and I'm sure that Brother Taylor and maybe Brother Stevie and some of the others that was with us, Brother Zale, some of you remember some of the things that we said would come to pass and the different things that would happen. And so many multiplied things has come to pass that we spoke of. One of the things that we spoke of that would come to pass, if you recall, and this is on tape somewhere, we said that along about the end that everything would go out with a great musical thing. It'd be a lot of singing, a lot of music, and all this would join in with the move of God, and everything would go out with a great singing. Whereas it's really true, it's happened just exactly that way. More and more, the churches are turning to singings. Isn't that right? They're turning to singings, and they're having to depend on that inspiration just to stay open. There's not enough vision in the hearts of the people to pray and fast and to seek God, and they're having to depend on singings and different gatherings and all kind of things to keep the church alive. Now, I also made the statement, I said the whole world would go Pentecostal. How many of you remember that? Does anybody remember that? Here, some right here. I said that they would go Pentecostal, Jim. And that at the time that this happened, it would be a repeat of history. A.D. 12, when Constantine took over, he turned everything into religion. He consolidated his kingdom, brought everything together, and turned it into a great move of that day. And he brought into his organized endeavors everything that he could imagine that would pacify the people, from pagan festivals to jewelry and all kind of fine things, you know. He really turned it into a great day of sports. Now, I said that history would repeat itself, and that this would come back in a great cycle, that men would begin to wear beards again, ladies would come back to the long dresses, and men would begin to carry guns, and they will. Some of them already have. And this thing would come about in a great turn of event. I saw it in Revelation and I saw it in vision. And I said that the whole world would go Pentecostal, and that the Catholic Church would adopt the Pentecostal way of life. That's what I said. That sounds like a long shot in the dark, and it still does. To say that the Catholic Church will go Pentecostal. But nevertheless, according to what I understood, that's the way it was to terminate. Now, with this, I said, as it was in the days of Constantine, when he took on the Pentecostal religion in that day, for that's what he did, after all of them was killed out, John killed out there about 96 A.D. or the last part of the apostles, and then they turned it into the Catholic Church in 325 A.D. Some of you know that. Split up about 364 A.D. into the Western and the Greek move, which brought on the Jewish part and the Western world that settled here. Now, he took everything in, and he adopted the Pentecostal religion from the apostolic way of life when all the apostles was dead, insomuch that some of them believe that that was the millennium, and it really was typical of the millennium if you can follow your revelational pattern. Now, I said just before the coming of the Lord that people would begin to go nude. And you know how this streaking started. Is that right? All this streaking started. And I said I saw this building finished. And when I did, there was a great racial conflict broke out. Isn't that right? And it appeared that it had to do with Athens, Georgia, breaking from there, moving up Highway 78 toward Atlanta, and there were some terrible things that appeared was going to happen in that. Now, I heard today that right here in Athens, that there was a bunch of hippies or whatever you want to call them, got horses and got Southern rebel uniforms, got high on dope and rolled down the streets of Athens, and the police, it was so forceful that they had to give them an escort and open the way for them. Now, that means trouble. The devil is out to stir up a strife. And our white people and black people do not have enough understanding and godly intelligence to prevent it. They're just going to split each other's throats and fight, and it's going to be a conglomeration of a mess. Many, many children and wives and loved ones and babies and whatnot is going to be killed and destroyed because of the lack of understanding. For the Bible said the wicked would not understand. God has hid understanding from them. They will not understand. All right, now, I wish that I had the paper here. Perhaps we could have torn it out. Where is it, Betty? I don't know whether you're willing to wait just a few moments or not, but it is really of vital importance to you that you understand what we're saying. Now, I said that this thing would strike about 1960. I said that's where it would spring from, that Protestant light went out and Catholic darkness come in. And that with that, the religious tide would begin to drop, not knowing that Brother Branham had previously made the statement, either before I made it or after I made it, I don't know when he made it, had made the statement that it would be over, that the revival to the world would be over sometimes, I believe he said in 56 or somewhere along there. I had seen the end of things shaping up, and that with 60, that everything would be set in motion for the coming of the Lord, and that the spiritual tide of things would begin to subside, and that the carnal mind of darkness would start taking great preeminence and begin to raise itself up. And I said, by 1970, everything would be practically in darkness, or the great religious lights of the great men like Oral Roberts and different ones would be gone out by 1970. Whereas it's happened right down the line. Things has happened. Brother Branham was killed out. The lights went out. Everything withered up. The religious tide began to go down, and men turned to gimmicks and begin to sell and to practice all kind of things to keep going. All right, now, it was in 1960 that a great move called the Karmazic move I don't know the exact pronunciation for it, but it got started about 1960, and it's gained its strength by 1967. It had really gained strength. Perhaps got a 500,000 followers or more by now. But that was exactly what Satan needed to really set everything in motion. That's really a woman's move is what it is. I made the statement that there would be a confederation among the rich men because of the crisis. I said there'd be a crisis, it would go down and come right back up. And how many of you realize that it did that? Did it happen that way? Now, that doesn't mean the end of problems, because I told you some visions I saw of soup lines and how that I owned people here, I was dividing the bread among them. Now, things has happened so far, like we said. I said with the Athens meeting, it will take a change. That was a big mouthful for a little fella to say concerning a great world crisis. But did it happen that way? All right, now, Brother Floyd, has your work picked up any? All right, I'm not sure, but I believe I heard today you've traded for over 100 houses. Is that correct? Brother Frank Beretta, has your work picked up any? I believe no longer than today he come to my house and said that he needed at least two more men to go to work. Said he couldn't find nobody. They all must be working. Brother Johnny, has your work picked up? All right, on and on and on. The different ones, their works, the work has picked up and God has blessed them. All right, now, that proves what we said. I said the rich men would confederate, and if they would come into a union of trying to bring their money together to survive the crisis. I saw a night or two ago where the gasoline went up again. And they would try to survive the crisis by coming together, and Jackie Kennedy would be right in the midst of the whole turnover. All right, now, I understand that just since I've been back, somebody picked up a paper and said that it had happened that way, that the rich men had gotten together, some of the wealthiest men was trying to pool their money in an effort to bring about self-government. All right, I then made some other statements that this fellow over here in Castro would, Castro would begin to rise up. And I understand that he come over here to the White House. Is that right? Over to the White House. Now, I said during this time that men like Brother T.L. Lowry, Brother Oral Roberts, Brother Billy Graham, and a number of others that had come off the field, left off with evangelism, would come back out front and start to evangelize again. Now, that was a big statement, because Billy said he was through. Oral Roberts had quit his tent business, and he never even heard of an auditorium meeting. He went into show business. And all of these things started taking place. I never heard of an assistant overseer like Brother T.L. Lowry in any church stepping out and starting to preach revivals in an evangelistic manner and go to churches, and especially small churches as well as the large. I never heard of that, but he did it immediately. Now, when I made that statement, he was pastoring a $1 million church. He was not out in evangelistic work, and I understand at that time, he was probably in a position to where he could not have gone out and done evangelistic work. Is that right, Brother Charlie? He was so tied up and devoted to the church and the expense had been involved. But nevertheless, the Lord brought it to pass. I noticed that Old Roberts has got ambitious. He came right here to Atlanta, Georgia, to Perry's meeting, right here in the Capitol. I made the statement that Old Roberts was one of the wisest men in the earth. A lot of people might not have agreed with me, and maybe perhaps they still don't. But I want to show you something. Brother Roberts has continued while other men have fallen because he had such a great vision. Other men had a vision to get a big tent and reach a great multitude, and that was it, and they folded up when their vision was finished. Without a vision, you perish. He gathered their pennies, and God finally got the smaller groups of the Pentecostal people to back him up, got somebody to give him a loan to start off with. That's how he got started. He got him a big loan. All right, now, he got the Pentecostal people together. He started preaching healing because he knew there was a lot of folks that were sick. Folks began to flock in to his meetings. And then he began to get the churches to back him up. He wouldn't come to an era unless so many churches backed him up. This is the way those big evangelists operate. They won't come or wouldn't come unless a lot of churches back them up, because some of them has made the statement that if they go there and there's not many people at their meeting, it looks like they're a flop and they lose their prestige. So they insured themselves the prestige before they come to the area. That's why that a lot of them got mixed up in the denominational thing, was because they had to have a crown. He did this and he grew strong. When he got money, then he could rub elbows with the wealthy. This caused, as he began to get popularity, the radio, money, he began to get more famous, and this caused some of the upper class of people to start wanting to fellowship him. So then, to make another strong outreach, once he got control of the common people through religion, he then set out to get a hold of the money men. And he set up what he called the full gospel businessmen. And through that, he reached out and got control of the average businessman, compiled their financial backing, and that made him equal to the real big business operators, and he went to a greater scale. When he got control of the businessmen, the next thing he meant to do was to get control of the show people and of Hollywood, and those that was in show business. To broaden his ministry and his outreach and what he wanted to do, he set in then in show business and got into television. And he never stopped until he invited the celebrities to come in to be with him, until finally he began to put pictures of Dale Evans and Roy Rogers and some of the other movie stars and different ones picture in the magazine. And that caused him to pick up more fame and popularity. Now, then he wanted to get prestige among the Indians. He went among the Indian people, wore their bonnets, had great meetings upon them, and got control of the red man. They found great favor with him. Then he wanted to be able to get control internationally of the great dignitaries and the great leaders, and the only way that he could do that was to set up a college, not just a college for local people, but a college that would be so elaborate and so up to date that the whole thing has come to $50 million, and where he could get the great dignitaries or the great leaders of the nation over there in with what he was doing. The next thing he wanted to do, he wanted to get control of the black man. So then he began to fellowship the black man, and he became their speaker at the biggest black man gathering over in Memphis, which is the Church of God in Christ. This past year, he was their speaker to get control of them. And then came up here to Atlanta with Perry and worked with them in the Capitol to get Martin Luther King's picture in the Capitol, to where that he could get the favor he wanted with the black man. Knowing that Atlanta, Georgia was the home of Martin Luther King, that set it off just right. Now, here is something that you need to watch. The Bible said that Antichrist came in with flattery. Is that right? Said he would grow strong with the little people. Isn't that right? That he would take a little people to start off. All right, now, the next thing that he wanted to do, he knew that one of the greatest means of getting control of the people was through the means of sports. And I spoke of sports, how that it would come in, and how that they would eventually turn it into slaughter and go back to the Greek way of life, and they would literally kill the Christians in the arenas. So then old Robert set in for sports, and you heard the little item that I read the other day, how that he said that we had to get into sports because the world had their eyes on sports, and by means of that he would be able to reach out and get the people to listen to his preaching of the gospel. So then he had to get control of the denominational world then to put over what he wanted, so he joined the Methodist Church. I said that Pentecost would go back into Methodism and then it would go back into Catholicism because it came from John Wesley's sanctification of Methodism. It had to go back the same way. So then he joined the Methodist Church, and I said he'd head for the Catholic system and wouldn't be satisfied until he went into it. And sure enough, he went right on, and the magazine carried the picture of the many Catholic priests that came out to Oral Roberts to be prayed for. Then to strengthen his ministry, he was envious of Billy Graham. So then he got Billy Graham to come and dedicate the great thing of magnificence that he's got out there in Tulsa. He got in with the governor. Billy Graham came. That was another means of consolidation for the empire that Oral was building. Very few men ever lived that have the understanding and the wisdom that Oral Roberts has had, and God has endowed him with it for his own purpose. I said he would fall away in his old age because the Lord told me he would. And it was the Spirit of Truth that spoke to me, because it not only happened in his old age the way God said, but it happened according to the very thing he showed me by the means of which it would happen. All right, now, the next thing I said that Oral Roberts would do was, once he conquered in that field, his next great move would be to get control of politics. And that's exactly where he's moving right now. He's moving toward that goal right now. And that will be one of his greatest triumphs and victories, should God allow him to go that far. And the way everything is shaping up, it's going right to that now. His fellowship with Billy Graham is an opening, because Billy is good friends with the presidents and different dignitaries. And a lot of the presidents and different ones fellowship the stars, the movie stars. And he's got a great opportunity now, being worth $50 million, to get them interested in his college. Now you watch and see if Brother Pike is telling you the truth. As the days wear on, Old Roberts will attempt to get the political powers interested in his college and what he's doing. All right, now, you can see by this what I'm speaking of. I said that those three men would come together, the Pope, Old Roberts, and Billy Graham. A lot of people didn't believe that, even up at Brother Bill Padar's church, where they published this in a book. Brother Homer was there, and they later published it. They did not accept what I had said when I preached there. They accepted me, and they accepted my message, but they could not conceive the idea that that would happen, because some of them confronted me with what Brother Branham had said. And Brother Branham had made the statement that these were the two angels that would go down to Sodom and Gomorrah. And because of that, they esteemed them as angels and did not accept it. But after that we had gone there and made our statements and talked about the things that we did, then they got to understanding, as they began to consider the thing, that the two angels that went down to Sodom and Gomorrah blinded the people. And then they decided that that could very well be that these two angels would blind the people. And I think you can truthfully say that nobody has ever blinded the people more than Billy Graham and Oral Roberts. I've never heard of two men that ever blinded the people more than these two men have blinded them. Oral has blinded the people to the extent that the Church of God, which never did this before until Oral Roberts got his preeminence, the Assemblies of God had never done it before, but he blinded them until they come into watching things on television, and they came into basketball and baseball and everything that could be. There was a time when the Church of God and Assembly of God and these people would dare do nothing like that. There was a time when old Robert's wife's dress come up to her neck and down to here. I've seen the pictures of him. There was a time when he wouldn't even pray for a woman if she had lipstick on. But now look how far that he has gotten off of the beaten path. By that, you ought to know how sly and cunning Satan is. All right, now, if you look at it, you can see that those two men have literally blinded the people. Billy has blinded the people by telling them all they have to do is believe, and the Lord Jesus will take care of everything. That is not true. You have to do more than believe. The Bible said faith without works is dead. You can believe a lie and be damned. You can believe all you want to, but that isn't going to take care of it. You're going to have to do something. The Bible said, not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Right, now, there's something that you've got to do. I could start out today and not preach nothing but divine deliverance and just preach all you've got to do is believe, never touch people's petty sins and the different things that they're doing, and I could go up just like a balloon. As a matter of fact, I watched Oral Roberts when he started it and Billy Graham, and God told me exactly what he was doing. And I said, Lord, if I didn't touch anything like that, I could just go right on up. For even the Church of God told me one time that they'd really put me up and take care of me. I could have a nice car, that they would stand behind me. That was way back many years ago. If I'd just do what they wanted me to do. And I said, no, I won't do it. I told the overseer, I said, I won't do it. I said, it's not God and I won't do it. Now, I had another movement to tell me the same thing. I said, no. Now, one of the movements said, Brother Pike, you'll never amount to anything if you don't join up with us. I said, no. That one today is backslid and gone. I'm still preaching the gospel. Now, I have seen the church go under. I've seen it go down, and yet not the true church of God, because the church of the firstborn God has sifted it and brought it on out. But I've seen it crumble. I've seen it go down. And now, since the saints of God are worn out, God is going to bring forth the message. They're going to rise, that is the true saints, and they're going to take the kingdom of God, and they're going to possess it forever and ever. They say, how will they take it? The Bible said the kingdom of God is within you. When they fully discover that the kingdom of God is within them, they will come into great power, great strength, and great might, and they will take this earth. And the kingdom of this world will become the kingdoms of our God. We'll possess it forever and ever. That is the midnight cry when the others will attempt to rise up and be religious and find out that they do not have the Holy Ghost, that the oil has leaked out of their vessels. All of them is asleep now. They're just like the world. Every one of them is asleep. They've lost their light. They're no more a light to the people. But some will trim their lamps and weeks at this move of God and come forth. Now here's what I want to say. We are right down at the very end of the way. I don't think any of you would dispute with me on that. Things has happened. Kissinger's rose up. All these things we spoke of, the road going into the east, and all these different things has happened. I said when the world went Pentecostal, it would again indicate the coming forth of the papacy of Rome and the great powers of Rome to dominate the earth again at that time. And I said to you people, I said there's about to be a great Pentecost. Whereas, I believe this year, Pentecost comes on May the 18th, is that right? Or something. Maybe I've got it wrong, but I believe it's recorded here in these readings right here. Now, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to let Brother Taylor read this, And then I'm going to comment for just a short few statements and let you go home. Are you willing to listen to it? All right, now, I'll just go ahead from here. If Brother Taylor will, I want him to come and read this to you. I want him to read carefully. I want him to read slow. I want him to read loud. And I want you to listen good. Listen real good now. Pentecost. Christians celebrate gifts of the Spirit in different styles. This is from the Atlanta Journal, Saturday issue, May the 17th of 1975. And it says here, Rome, the Associated Press. Bishops, archbishops, and cardinals, struggling to keep their hats in place, sang and danced in ecstasy, embracing one another and raising their arms to heaven. The Most Reverend Joseph McKinney, Auxiliary Bishop of Grand Rapids, Michigan, joined hands with the Most Reverend James Hayes, Archbishop of Halifax, who in turn linked arms with Leo Cardinal Swinens of Belgium. The unlikely chorus on Friday opened the ninth International Conference on Charismatic Renewal in the Roman Catholic Church. The conference theme of renewal and reconciliation, the theme of Holy Year, underlines the movement's search for wholehearted approval in the official church. A crowd of about 8,000, most of them Americans, gathered at the catacombs of St. Calixtus, burial place of the early Christian martyrs, for the opening ceremony. A young band led the Congress in song, and delegates from Quebec to Bombay testified to the growth of the movement in all continents. The charismatic movement, a predominantly lay movement claiming more than 500,000 followers, emerged in mainline Protestant churches in the early 1960s and in Roman Catholicism in 1967, amongst students and professors at Duquesne University in Pittsburgh. In a recent report, American Catholic bishops credited the movement with many positive signs, a new sense of spiritual values, a heightened consciousness of the action of the Holy Spirit, the praise of God, and a deepening personal commitment to God. But they warned of dangers inherent in the revival. Divergence from the official church, fundamentalism, exaggeration of the importance of the gifts of prophecy and speaking in tongues. Tongues is not the important thing. The important thing is the change in your life, said Bob Kavner, a retired U.S. Air Force colonel who came here for the meeting from Dallas, Texas. Kavner, introduced to the movement by his son Jim, was one of 70 Congress elite, renowned for speaking in tongues and selected to receive messages to the conference from the Holy Spirit. Participants will attend a Pentecostal Mass celebrated by Pope Paul VI on Sunday and will be received in audience by the Pontiff Monday. Pentecost, the liturgical celebration marking the coming of the Holy Spirit to Jesus' followers, is one of the least well-understood observances in the Christian church. That no doubt follows from the fact that Christian idea of the Holy Spirit and its gifts is one of the most controversial doctrines in Christianity. Pentecost this year comes on May the 18th. Scripture readings for the day used in most churches tell the story found in Acts 2 of the first Pentecost, when the disciples were filled with the Spirit, spoke in tongues, and they saw tongues of fire resting on each other's head. It has been the gift of tongues that has been the most debated and divisive of the spiritual gifts, which according to the Apostle Paul also include the power to heal, the gift of preaching, and prophecy. In the early part of this century, in American churches, the gift of speaking in tongues, called glossolalia, was deliberately cultivated and interpreted as a direct experience of the Holy Spirit. What has been a source of contention between mainline Christians who don't accept the practice of glossolalia and the Pentecostals who do has been the former's insistence that the gift of tongues created a language that communicated
that spoke in words that non-believers could understand. Nevertheless, in recent years, the phenomenon has been growing in both mainline Protestant churches and among Roman Catholics as well. The American Catholic hierarchy extensively debated the subject at the last meeting of the National Conference of Catholic Bishops, and later a committee of bishops circulated a statement generally giving its blessing to the Catholic charismatics while warning against a spiritual elitism sometimes associated with the movement. The question of tongue-speaking and the charismatic movement is considered a possible subject for debate at the annual meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention set for Miami Beach, June the 10th through the 12th. Although the SBC has been largely untouched by the controversy and top denomination officials have expressed the hope the issue will not arise, the tongue-speaking phenomenon has appeared in a number of associations and state conventions during the past year. In addition, the Reverend W.A. Criswell, pastor of Dallas First Baptist Church, the largest congregation in the SBC, recently gave a verbal tongue-lashing to the charismatics. Throughout Christian history, Criswell said, wherever this phenomenon has arisen, it has been looked on as an aberration and a heresy. The day following Criswell's attack, Pentecostal leaders in Dallas placed ads in the city's newspapers demanding either an apology or a discussion of the matter. So far, Criswell has not apologized nor agreed to a debate. For most Christians, however, Pentecost is understood in terms quite apart from the single aspect of the gifts of tongues. It is understood as the time the community of the church was formed, giving it the power to share the good news of Jesus in words that all the world could understand.
Now, I think that most of the things that Brother Taylor said, there wouldn't be any reason why I would have to try to explain. If you notice, that come from Keynes University. That's a good place for it to get started. The Pope was to head it up, and the Catholic leaders gave their praise to it. Just told them not to get overboard, you know, in good old-fashioned country talk. And you remember I made the statement that there would be a great revival among the Baptist people and they'd start speaking in tongues. I saw it in the vision. How many of you remember that? All right, now they're fixing to have this discussion at the Southern Baptist Convention down June, down here in Miami Beach. And it's going to win out just like it has on the other. Now this will really put Oral Roberts in a big place, won't it? How many remember that Mr. Pentecost attended the Catholic Convention, or what do they call it? The Ecumenical Council. Mr. Pentecost was there. He attended it. All right, now, Oral Roberts, being Pentecostal, this is his cue. Going back, I said it'd come down, it would go back to Methodism and back to Catholic. Is that right? Back to Catholicism. Now, has it done exactly that? All right, now, it's moving right on back. Now, I want to point out something here kind of hurriedly, and I'm going to close out. Now, I said the whole world would go Pentecost. Now, it's evident that this will also bring this into the political powers, in that the Pope of Rome believes in church over state. All right, that's all they need to bring it into political power. You understand what I'm saying? All right, now look at this real close here for just a few minutes, and I'm going to close. All right, now, the charismatic move got its start in 60. That's when the darkness come in. The Cain side of it. That's when the Catholics took over. We had a first Catholic president. Is that right? That's fitting, isn't it? That they should adopt the thing that come in at the very time that they took over. Now you'd say, Brother Pike, what would the charismatic have to do with it? I made the statement, I said, they'll start believing in miracles and it'll go through the whole Catholic Church and everything. And after that, the Pope began to go down through the hospitals laying his hands on people praying for him. Isn't that right? All right, now, here is something I want you to see. The Pentecostal thing That's all they needed to bring the churches together. You see what I mean? Now, there was too big a gap between the Pentecostal people and the denominational side of the world, or the Catholics, to ever come together unless they adopted the Pentecostal way of life. God had to bring on this do your own thing to let everybody get free and get loose from the bondage, you know, of a reservation of heart and so forth, so they could get out there and really shout and go on, you know. You understand what I'm saying? The full gospel businessman is partly responsible for this. Out in Denver, Colorado, I attended the full gospel businessman's convention. That's where I met Ford, the great millionaire. All right, now, it was there at that convention that I saw people. They had all kind of clothes on, dressed every way, bobbed hair, jewelry, painted lips, everything. I saw a Baptist preacher stand up, tell them how that he had come into speaking in tongues, how the church had rejected him, and he had them people that was Baptists and everything else. He said, get up and speak in tongues. And they got up and were speaking in tongues. Now, this is moving over the whole world. All right, now listen. All they needed was the charismatic move to bring to pass what the Lord said would happen in the book of Revelation. All right, let's see if that's right. Now, you know we're in the end time. The man-child was caught up in the middle of the week when the woman had her foot on the moon, going back to America and all this. I don't have to go through that. You know what I mean. And the red dragon went out. Isn't that right? The accuser of the brethren. I could say some things particular here that would really shake you up. But I, to conceal the identity of some so that I don't hurt people, I have to just be quiet a lot of times when I see things working. The red dragon went out. The man-child was caught up. I said that had to do locally with Brother David Paul. You remember what I said about the other night? How many remember what I said about it the other night? I tied it together there a little bit and showed you. How many remember that? See, I said that David come back from Virginia, the virgin, the birth of the child. Is that right? And then connected with Elberton. Is that right? He drove Brother Toby's car here, which helped lead these boys in. At that time, the accuser of the brethren. You know, you can get to the place to where everybody you see is a liar. Or you can just get to where you say you're a hypocrite, you lie, you're this, and you're that. But the Bible said the red dragon was cast down. Is that right? When the man-child was caught up. All right, now, at this very time, right now, I want you to see this. If the charismatic move believes in miracles, which they do, then all the world coming together in the papacy move, all they have to do is to have three great leaders to come together that's not right with God. Is that right? Because the Bible said out of the mouth of those three went three unclean frogs. Is that right? Saying that these were the spirits of devils that went forth into all the earth. That means they're going to have, they're going to be great men of renown that people are going to listen to around the earth. It went into all of the earth to gather the people together. Now, how did it do it? By a charismatic move of working miracles. That's how it done it. It went into all the earth working miracles to gather them together in one great body for the great battle of Armageddon. Is that right? When that great religious body organizes and comes together, they will lift themselves up against the Jewish nation. Because the Jewish nation will never go along with their charismatic move. And when they do, the Lord Jesus will come back. Now I want you to see this and fight for the Jews. Right now, they're uncovering the holies of holies. You heard somebody make that statement the other night. Isn't that right? That means that the opening of the heavens, whereas the Ark of His Testament will be revealed. For if they're uncovering it, that is a natural excavation of the earth that typifies a physical excavation here that is penetrating and finally getting right down into the holies of holies, which is the very mind, the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what it is. That's exactly what it is. They're beginning to uncover it, Brother Toby, and they're right down on the verge of it right now. And the Bible said God would save the tents of Judah before Israel. Is that right? It said, lest Israel exalt herself against Judah. Is that right? For the scepter shall not depart from Judah. Is that nor a lawgiver? Is that right? That means that Christ has to come in us. We're the tents of Judah. For the Bible said spiritual Israel, the blessing of God be upon spiritual Israel. So we're the tents of Judah. All right, now, listen to this real close. The charismatic move, bringing the people together, all they've got to do is to get Oral Roberts, Billy Graham, and the Pope together in a great world-renowned move. That's all they've got to do. Oral Roberts is, I live before God, is lying to the people. Now, somebody say, but Brother Pike, ain't you afraid to say that? I am not afraid to say that. He is lying to the people. He is telling those people that they can go to heaven and mess with basketball and all the corruption of the flesh. When the Bible said, abstain from fleshly lust that warreth against the soul. Denominations and Brother Roberts or nobody else is going to play basketball and football and the things of the world. And I don't mean to get to preaching and still go to heaven. It ain't going to be. God ain't going to tolerate it. It ain't going to be. I don't care what kind of church it is. It ain't going to be. It's a bunch of bastard children that's going to hell. That's just the way it is. Now, God isn't going to do it. They're gathering them together in a paganistic thing for the battle of Armageddon. Billy Graham is lying to the people. He's lying to the people. Telling the people all they've got to do is believe. They don't have to live godly. They don't have to be filled with the Holy Ghost. The man that tells a person that all they have to do is believe to get to heaven is a liar. You've got to be filled with the Spirit of God. But the Bible said if you have not His Spirit, you are none of His. I don't care how much you believe. It ain't got nothing to do with it. A baby has got to have a spirit of life in it when it's born or it's born dead. It's a still birth. And those people are coming into a still birth. All right, now, I'm going to stop. I don't mean to get to preaching. I'm just wanting to say this little bit in the closing out of here to where you can understand what I'm saying. With these three great men coming together, and they are blinding the people. They are blinding the people. Jesus said, you compass land and sea to make a proselyte twofold more the child of hell than he was to start with. When Oral Roberts and Billy Graham and these denominational people tell people that they can get to heaven, that they've got the Spirit of God and they can do those things, they have made proselytes and you can't tell them nothing. I want to show you something right quick. Those people have the Spirit of God upon them. And they can speak in tongues. And they can have the Spirit of God on them. Because it's poured out on all flesh. But as quick as the elect is sealed on the inside, Elijah's day of the famine for that time of the tribulation will come and all of it will go dry. I saw a vision where everything went dry. The earth just turned into powder. And the Spirit of God was lifted from the earth. When that time comes, everything will go dry. Now, as long as the water is coming down, they're all right. But they could come together as a trinity, because every one of them believes in the same thing. Pentecostals believe just exactly like the Catholic Church believes. They've got the same paganistic practices. Now listen just a minute now. If you'll check, you'll find the doctrine of Balaam when God spoke to the church over there in that third church age. Speaking of the Pergamos church age, you go back to the word marriage, you'll find out that it was the intermarriage or coming together of church and state. It was incorporating everything, pagan festivals, sports, and everything into a religious move. That was called the doctrine of Balaam. Isn't that right? And following that, in the Thyatira church age, that extended from 606 to 1520, when that church age came in, it was a Jezebel church age, which means the Catholic Church had come in and taken over following the Balaam Act. Isn't that right? Now, how many of you are familiar with what Balaam and them did? Over 40,000 people got killed them because they went to the feast of Baal Peor. That's right, and got tangled up with the women over there. All right, now listen. Baal means God of the flesh. I brought that out here one night. They can come together because they are Trinity. They believe in Easter. They believe in all the other paganistic things. Their little differences, they'll just lay aside. But they could come together. If them people are willing to go Pentecostal and speak in tongues, you tell me, what can the Church of God, what can the Pentecostal holiness, what can the Assemblies of God, or what can the UPC or any of the rest of them do to say that they are different from the Catholic Church because they wear mini skirts just like the Catholic Church? They bob their hair out. They paint their faces. They go to the dances. They go to the festivals. Their children strip off in the schools. They go down to the swimming pools. They're mixed up in the political messes of the world. What difference is it between them? There is none. You understand what I mean? When they come together with that, that's going to do it. They'll come together on that, and the one thing that they will overlook, when I say this, I don't say this in protection of the UPC or any other denomination, but I say this in protection of the Jesus name people, whether they be in the UPC or the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ or whatnot. I predict that God will strip the UPC and every other Jesus name movement that is a big money power by letting them get mixed up in the charismatic order and in the common Catholic Confederation, and do them the same way that he did the Jews by running them through a tribulation thing to strip them of their wealth, and those that will not yield will go on with the charismatic order, and the true Jesus name people will come out on this side and unite with the non-denominational Jesus name people for the body of Christ. And the entire religious world in this third dimensional order will rise up against the Jesus name people. Because the one difference is Jesus name baptism. That's one difference. That's the one difference. That is what's going to make the difference. The devil will incorporate anything with anybody except the name Jesus, and the name Jesus cast out devils, and he won't have any part of it. So then we're going to see it. It's going to come together. And when it does, it's going to be a terrible, terrible calamity. The black man will rise up in Atlanta, Georgia, getting his start in Memphis. He will take over to denote that darkness has covered the earth because of his pattern in the earth. When he does, this thing will come up in such a horrible, beastly order until there will be nothing but blood in the streets and slaughter, and everything will have to yield to one order, and that is that monstrous thing that they call the beast through the Social Security card of that numerical order of numbering system, coming under the Einstein thing, breaking into the heavens, coming in some other way except by the door, Jesus. And they will do everything to establish a religious order to bring on Antichrist, but one thing, and that's come in by the name Jesus, which is the door. They will not do it. They will not do it. Now, you watch and see if I'm telling you the truth. This thing will be short-lived. We're not far from it now. It's going to come to pass. I feel sorry for the people that are in Trinity churches. And I feel sorry for some of the people that are in the UP church, UPC. Now, I don't feel sorry for some of the people that are in the Trinity churches, because there are some Jesus-named people in the Trinity churches. Some have never come to Jesus' name as far as being baptized, but they've accepted it in their hearts, and they are afraid they'll put them out of the synagogue if they confess it. But they will confess it. And folks, there's hundreds and thousands of people that have been baptized in Jesus' name that are in those denominations that will show their color when they see this thing going into the Antichrist system. I predict that it won't be long before God will burn this entire world by starting with Atlanta, Georgia. Burn this entire world because of sodomites. Because Paul said that was the last thing that would happen, and God would burn the world when they did it. And right here near you is 150,000 people in the city of Atlanta that is in perversion. So you can imagine how many hundreds of thousands of devils and demons like that is in the world. That means that all these hippies, colleges, and all these other things is going to begin to show their colors, and the bastard children that they've hatched off with all of this dope, all of this rock and roll, and all this religious thing is going to come together. It's going to be the satanic powers of Satan that's going to come together as God brings his people together, and there's going to be a great battle that's going to be on in the heavenlies, that's going to be just exactly like Charlie saw it when he saw a simple, foolish little thing in a vision. When he looked, he said he thought it had to do with Kissinger, but he couldn't tell, when Batman and Superman was having a battle in the heavenlies. Because the Superman has to do with the sons of God, and the Batman thing has to do with the creatures of the night. It's going to come together in a great battle. Now you watch what I'm telling you. Light and darkness will not mix, and there's going to be a battle and a bloodshed like you've never seen in the history of all of mankind. Now, the only thing I can say for you is, be ye also ready. That's right. For an hour you think not, the Son of Man cometh. I want you to stand with me. I hope I haven't taken up too much of your time. There are still other things that I'd like to say, but I believe that I've said enough tonight, and from time to time as I went along, to tie this together to where you can see that we're not very far from the closing of the door. The Bible teaches that the righteous will understand, and they will see. They will know what's going on, and they will be ready. They will. You love the Lord? Are you glad you're Christians? Folks, you need to pray. You're fixing to see a massacre like you've never seen before, of every race, creed, and color on the face of the earth. It's going to be the biggest mixed up mess that you've ever seen. And out of that is going to arise one who is stern, one who exalted himself above all that is called God, one that does not mind fighting and killing and destroying, and every person will tremble and melt under the impact of that fierce leader that makes himself even greater than God. And he'll be so fierce and so powerful through his consolidation of his kingdom and the incorporation of his major move in the earth that nobody will be able to make war with him. No nation, even the 10 nations that confederate with him, will hate him. They'll hate him, but they'll still give their power to him because they're afraid of him. I want to say this in closing. The Bible said that the clay and the iron would not mix. And I made the statement that communism would come together with Catholicism. And I said that Catholicism is iron. They've always been noted for their chariots of iron, everything they've ever done, and that America would turn Catholic. And that the Pope and the Russian leader would come together, which you know they did immediately after I said it. The papers published it, and then even in Huntington, Virginia, we've got a clipping we brought down here where the Pope dismissed Monsensi because he was anti-communist to find favor with him. I got the picture of him doing it. Now, the clay and the iron won't mix, but they'll try to come together, one trying to deceive the other. Russia being the clay part, Catholics being the iron part, which is the American move. They'll try to deceive each other, and I would, if I had time, I'd go into explain it, how it would happen, how they come together. But there's one thing about it. They will not mix. They'll try to get together, but it won't mix. And there's a lot could be said about that if we just had the time. These things that I'm telling you are the truth. And I believe you know that they're the truth. And if they're not the truth, somebody in that audience ought to have a backbone enough to come up and put his finger on my nose and tell me that I'm a liar and that I don't need to be up here. But if I'm telling you the truth and you believe it and it makes sense to you, then folks, you need to do something about it. You need to do something about it. I suggest just before we leave, since they come up here like this, that all of us would come around just for a minute here around the altar. I wasn't going to do this. The other night I felt sure that I should give altar call because I felt there was some young folks and different ones that was moved. But now, you need to come around the altar. And tonight you need to make a dedication. It's the midnight hour. The bridegroom is coming. You need to rise up and you need to trim your wicks. If your light is not burning brightly, you need to call on the name of the Lord, and you need to check up, make sure your election, make sure you're calling, and you need to check up, folks, and see if you really do have the Spirit of God. Believing is not going to be enough. See if you've really got the Holy Ghost, the oil. See, these virgins that rose up at the midnight cry, and I said that they would do it, and this is on tape. Back here months ago, a number of years ago, I said, if you'll watch him, I said, the denominational people, along with the Catholic Church, all of them will rise up at this Pentecostal move. And I said, they will decide that the holiness people is not a bunch of fanatics, that all is real. But when they rise up, all they'll do is speak in tongues and get emotion and different things because there won't be any oil at that time. Isn't it a true fact that there's an oil shortage right now? Isn't that right? As on earth, so in heaven. Right at this time when they're rising up and they're saying, we decided that this Pentecostal thing is worthy of consideration, God has already sealed his bride in. They're rising up and they're saying, give us of your oil, you Pentecostal people. Isn't that right? But they're saying we just got enough for ourselves because they can't even keep the miniskirts off. They can't even stay away from the ball games. They've barely got enough strength to hold on themselves. Isn't that right? They said our lights have gone out. We had a John Wesley revival, but it's gone out. We had a Martin Luther revival, but she's gone out. We've cherished it through the years, but it's gone out. But the bride was sealed in. And the Bible said while they went to look for that oil, the bridegroom came. Those that were ready went in with him and the door was shut. Isn't that right? And I made the statement that the shutting of this little door out here that Brother Darrell is working on right now and Brother Atlee has to do with the closing of the door to the Gentile people. When God shutteth, no man openeth. When that man-child was caught up, Lucifer came out, personified himself. At that time, God had the bride sealed in, and that was it. And they went to look for the oil, but it was too late. The bride was sealed in, and when they come back with their shouting experience, they said, Lord, we've decided that Pentecost is right. But the Lord said, it's too late. The door is closed. The darkness is already here. Isn't that right? The midnight's already come. My children are with me in bed. Isn't that right? They're already closed in. They're already taken in. They're already in with me. They're sealed in by the Holy Spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby thou art sealed unto the day of redemption of the body. They're already sealed in, and you can't get in because the door to the Gentiles is closed. I've gone back to the Jews, and you can't get in. Is that right? It was too late to make the rapture. Is that right? The ones that sail will be the Jews. They'll have the everlasting gospel to preach to them that's on earth during the tribulation. But it'll be too late to make the rapture, the translation. Let's sing a little chorus together. While we're all standing here together, let's just lift our hands up. Let's sing a little chorus together. And while these are praying, if you've not made a dedication, little folks, Brother Pike has been working with you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. When I say little people, I mean my little people in God, too, that's just started in the Lord, whether you be old or young. And especially to my little people around the altar. Little folks, if you're not right, if you're not satisfied, get satisfied in the Lord, quick. Get satisfied quick, because a tragedy is coming. Everyone that's saying, Lord, Lord, among you hasn't got it. There's going to be some that's standing here among you. In a little while, they're going to get upset. Now, you watch what I'm telling you. They're going to turn to the lust of the flesh, just like some did a few days ago. It's working in your midst. And it's going to get a hold of them, and they're going to harden their heart. God will harden their heart like Pharaoh. And they're going to turn and go back to doing their own thing. Now, watch and see. But you're going to hold fast to what you got. Let no man take your crown. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Make your calling and election sure. Don't take no chance with it. Do these things, produce the fruits of the Spirit. That's proof you'll never fall. All right, let's sing it together with our eyes closed, our heads bowed, our hands lifted up. Meditation in the Lord. Make contact with His Spirit with all sweetness and surrender. He's no respecter person. He loves you. He loves you. If you'll believe in Him and His mercies, He loves you. You'll feel that heavenly contact. As an assurance, His Spirit bearing witness with yours that ye are the children of God. Day by day, His Spirit will bear witness as you walk in harmony with His ways. That's His Spirit bearing witness with yours that you are sons of God. All right? Let's sing it together. Pass me not, O gentle Savior.